Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, October 30th, 2017, and today's show is titled Part 2, Offensive versus Defensive. Okay, and really quick, I just want to do a quick intro. I am 41 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm the mother of one male child. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a leader. I'm studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. So before I get started, I like to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. Third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. So I did not do the show, I didn't do part 1 last week, I did it the week before, so I want to do a quick recap since it's been a little minute. That show I highlighted on offensive. So the offense tries to move towards the defense zone so that they can score a goal in football. Both behaviors, offensive and defensive, is involving force and aggression. However, in the real world, the spiritual world is slightly different. When we exhibit offensive behavior, we do not go poking the bear, starting trouble, calling spiritual wars, vampire hunting and witch hunting and whatnot, but we do remain armored up and prepared for attacks at all times, including while we are asleep. So that's what it means when I discussed offensive zone last show. And the definition of offensive is to use force and aggression and also try to eliminate the factors that might prevent him from achieving his main goal. So the offensive person is the person that does the action. Defensive, however, uses force and aggression to ward off the attack. They make the threat go away. So they are reacting to the action. Okay? So I also discussed our bodies reacting to both sides with adrenaline rush and increase in heart rate, et cetera, if you wanted to know how that works as far as the body is concerned. I discussed the offensive behavior. It stems from confidence and boldness. It's on purpose. It's aggression. It's territorial, dominant, advancing themselves at the expense of others. The offensive person is the attacker, pursuit of the prey, and the origin of conflict is dealing with the offensive. And the offensive person is the person that starts the attack. But again, it's slightly different in the spiritual realm. It's just about being armored up and almost like, I mean, if you know the enemy is going to attack you, if you know the enemy is waiting to persecute you, why wouldn't we be ready at all times, in other words? I also tied in scriptures to seal that deal. I went into 1 Peter 1:13, 1 Peter 5:18, which discussed being sober-minded and being watchful. I went into 1 Peter 4:7, which discussed self-control. Satan is always in offensive mode, and we must be a few steps ahead of him. So Satan remains in offensive mode, but he's coming in offensive mode from a defensive perspective, so we need to understand who our enemy is. I also went to Titus. I read the whole chapter of chapter 2, which teaches us to renounce ungodliness. And then I went to 1 Timothy 3:2, which discussed being an overseer and above reproach. 2 Timothy 3, that was also dealing with that. I went into Romans 12, verse 2, discussed renewing the mind. Yeah, that's a very familiar one. I went into Matthew 25:13-30, which discussed being watchful. 1 Corinthians 15:34, which discussed being woke and waking up and understanding what's going on. We're on the battlefield. I went to 1 John chapter 4, discussing testing the spirits, part of being offensive mode is testing the spirits. Like, how can you be tricked if you're constantly testing the spirits? That doesn't mean doubtful and not believing things that you hear, that you know is of God. It's just that when you get that questionable word, testing the spirits will allow you to remain in offensive mode. How can you false doctrine set in if you had already tested it before you accepted it? So in case you didn't think that may have fit in, yeah, testing the spirits does fit in an offensive mode. You don't want to be full with all this religious doctrine and false teachers and prophets' words when you can just test it and throw it out right as it comes. Like, you don't even got to let it set in your heart, set in your spirit. You can just be like, something don't sound right about that. Let me test this out. Oh, nope, wrong. Okay? It's like eating spoiled food and throwing it right up before it even gets to, you know, get in the belly. Your mouth is already like, you know, you spit it up immediately. That's what testing the spirits would allow. I also went into Ephesians chapter 6. That's also very familiar about being armored up and putting on the whole armor. That also will allow us to stay in offensive mode. If you arm it up at all times, it's almost impossible to, and I'm not talking about persecution. I mean, some of that is just going to be that way. But I'm talking about unnecessary persecution, or you just constantly get attacked and you just constantly, you know, if you just armored up, if we just armored up, a lot of that stuff can be avoided. So now let's get into, that was a recap from 2 weeks ago. So now we can get into defensive mode. Now, it's nothing wrong with being in defensive mode. However, if you like me, I like to be ahead of the game. I don't like surprises. You know, I like to know what's coming. So my comfort zone is in offensive mode, but sometimes I do miss the boat on that and I do fall short where I have to get in defensive mode, which means I'm already being attacked, things is already happening, and now I got to fight it off. So that's what we're going to get into today. And in defense regarding our spiritual walk is dealing with our speech. We don't fight and defend ourselves with our hands. Our defense is going to be what's coming out of our mouths. This is a voice-activated system, and we need to understand that. The minute we understand that this is a voice-activated system, then we learn how to fight this battle. We don't need to go around beating anybody up. We don't need to go around beating up devil worshipers. Or, years ago they killed witches and warlocks and people that had familiar spirits. We don't need to do that anymore, okay? So please don't misunderstand the attacks and the fighting off that I'm discussing. It's going to be with the sword. The mouth is the most dangerous weapon in the universe if you know how to use it, okay? If when we begin to sharpen our sword and learn how to use our mouth, it becomes the most effective and the most dangerous weapon known to man. Because why? This is a voice activated system. If somebody's just, and I'm not downplaying guns and knives, but if somebody shoots you, you just got shot. If somebody speaks words over you, words is seeds and a harvest comes from that. So not only are the words they speaking over you going to harvest, harvest is always more than what's being said. Likewise, when you use your sword as a weapon, that's what it is, that's more effective than any gun or knife. I don't care how good of a fighter you are with your hands. I mean, good for you. But this mouth here, the tongue, I mean, why do you think God says the power of life and death is in the tongue? Why would he make such a statement like that if weapons was more powerful? I mean, somebody can have a gun aimed at you and you can speak some words over them and they can drop it. You speak correctly. So when he said power of life and death is in the tongue, he wasn't kidding around. It is. And unfortunately, what the enemy has managed to do is to get us speaking incorrectly, to get us speaking death over ourselves just in natural conversation. Now we got everybody using flatline when something is overly funny. Oh, I'm flatline. Oh, I'm dead. Aha. And it's all fun and games until you die. So we need to retrain our words and realize what they are, even the songs we sing. I mean, I've done countless of shows about that. And I did a show called Sharpen Your Sword and all this other stuff. We need to really start learning how to speak and really know what this is. It's not just a mouth that we talk and, oh, sticks and stones may break our bones. Like, that's not true. That's not true. That, too, is a lie from the pit of hell. I mean, who's the first one that said sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you? But the person that they're making fun of with the names is getting ready to commit suicide. So they definitely had that wrong. You got people to this day still haven't gotten on with their lives because people made fun of them when they were younger or, you know, called them all kinds of various names, degrading stuff like that. Some people will tell you verbal abuse is worse than physical abuse. I mean, I don't know what that's like, but the ones that do, that's what they have said, like verbal abuse. I'm like, verbal abuse. And they're like, yeah, you know, this person degraded me or their parents degraded them or their husband or their wives degraded them. And they describe that to be worse than physical abuse. So we got to start paying attention to this stuff. I mean, these neurologists and all of that stuff, they even speak about thinking negatively can affect the atmosphere around you. So imagine speaking negatively. I mean, that's times 10, right? If just thinking it is really, really bad, imagine speaking it and constantly speaking it and then singing about it. You know, watch the songs we sing. Watch the stuff that we read out loud. Watch stuff like that because all of this stuff is just tricks from the enemy to get us thinking and talking reckless. He don't got to touch us. We doing it ourselves, right? What does the devil got to do if we constantly doing it ourselves? If when somebody makes you laugh, if you say, I'm dead, why does the devil need to attack you? You just attacked yourself. So we need to start paying attention to this stuff. So really quick, let's go to Acts chapter 22. And I like right how it starts off. And we know this is Paul. Right in verse 1, again, this is Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Paul says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. He just gets right to the point. And then he says, and when they heard that he spake in a Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he said, see right there? His defense is coming out of his mouth. Never once did he pick up a weapon. And we know he was in a whole heap of nonsense going on just for speaking the word, just for being a believer, just from turning his life around. He went through a whole bunch of stuff. But what does he say? My defense, hear ye my defense. It's coming. It's going to come right out of his mouth. Okay? I don't even think I need to read on. I mean, that just seals it right there. What he said in the first verse, his defense is coming out of his mouth. So, if you want to keep an outline, I don't know, some people do, some people don't, but one thing to know about defense and being in defensive mode, it must include the word of God. Your words are not more powerful than God's words. I'm going to say it again. In defensive mode, your defense that's going to come out of your mouth, what makes it a sword, what makes it so powerful is that it's God's words. And you're just quoting, you're just agreeing with God. And Paul definitely understood that. And I mean, if you go all the way down, he sets up his defense really, really good. But one of the things he does in verse 7 is, he says, and I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, then he starts quoting, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecute. He starts quoting the conversation that he had with Jesus. Okay? That was his defense. And then he gets on and on and on. In verse 10, he does it again. And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told of thee all things which are appointed. And then he starts quoting further while he's setting up his defense against all these accusers against him, okay? So the first thing when we are in defensive mode is our defense must include the word of God. I wrote down, quote the word during defense, but you must know what the word says to quote it. That's the problem. A lot of us don't know the word to quote it. So if you're in the middle of an attack and you're a believer, you got to have some word readily available to quote, okay? How are you going to know that if you don't read the word? So that's how you got to know. You got to read the word. You got to read the word. I wrote down, quote the word during defense. I wrote down, you must know what the word says to quote it. I wrote down, study the word. I wrote down, study the word, not just read it. That's a biggie. A lot of us just blow through the Bible. We pick it up, we read it, and never studying it, never really grasping and understanding what it's actually saying. And that, too, will land you on false doctrine. If you read in a certain part of it, you don't understand who's talking, you don't understand who they're talking to, and next thing you know, you're quoting parts of the Bible that God wasn't speaking, neither was Jesus speaking, neither was none of the prophets speaking, none of the disciples were speaking, somebody else was speaking, and now you're quoting false doctrine. So you have to study that in order to know that. You have to know, when you read in scriptures, you want to know who's speaking and who they're speaking to. And keep reading along to see if what they were saying was accurate. I like to use the book of Job as an example for that, because God doesn't start speaking. He only speaks in the beginning and towards the end. So if you start quoting in the middle of Job, that ain't going to get it, because that was Job and his homeboys talking, right? And for those that you that don't know, I'm joining via Blog Talk. The guest dial-in is 563-999-3682. I'm also joining Facebook Live. I'm also getting ready to open the chat box. I apologize for not previously opening the chat box. Okay, it wants to freeze on me. All right, so it's Facebook Live. Audio on Blog Talk, I just gave you the dial-in. I'll give it to you again, 563-999-3682. Blog Talk via the Internet. Some people just like to join via Internet. I'm going to launch the chat box. That way you can join that way. And I think that's it, right? Yeah. Okay. So not only do you quote the word of God during offense, you must know the word to say it. You must know what the word says to quote it. Then you have to study the word, not just read it. You also have to believe the word of God, not just read it. So a lot of us read the word, a lot of us study the word, but do you actually believe the word? Do you believe what you're reading? Okay, that's a biggie. We think we believe until we're in a situation where we have to really act on our belief system. Do you really believe? Or are you caving in? That's a biggie. That's a biggie. Do we really believe it? And if you believe it, declare it and decree it boldly. That's what makes that boldness come out, is because you believe what you're saying. You actually know God. You actually know what he told you. You actually know what the word says. You've been exercising this. This is not your first rodeo. By that time, it's like the more you do, the more confident you become, the more bold you become. It's probably not going to be, well, it can. I mean, it can be, you know, right at your first attack, you on it. I'm not saying it can't. I'm saying, but the more you do, the more bold and strong in the Lord you become, the more your faith boosts, the more everything is just, it's like anything. The more you do it, the better off you become, like singing. The more, if you're going to sing once a month and not do vocal warm-ups throughout the rest of the month, you're probably not going to be a good singer. You're probably not going to be a good singer, boxing, anything. If you're not practicing and exercising it and really working it, you're probably not going to be that good at it come showtime. I can almost guarantee you, you won't. Yeah, you can cram it in and do some, drink some tea and honey last minute and maybe can get through it. But you're not going to be really, really good at it if you don't work it the rest of the month. That's how this works. We're not just picking up the Bible when we are in need or in a crisis. This should be like a daily thing, a daily walk, where you already walk it and talking with God. By the time the struggle comes and the attack comes, you already there with God. The rest is just asking him, okay, what do I do? What do I do with this? Or what do I do with that? Right? Because you've already been there. you already been there all day talking to him. It's not, oh, are you there? I don't really know if I believe in you, Lord. I'm not saying he won't show up. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it would be better if you were constantly walking and talking during sin, walking and talking with him and really exercising. Oh, somebody's alarm is going off. Oh, it went off. Yeah, so start doing that. Don't wait for the attack to come. Don't wait for a need to arise. Just start walking and talking with God. You can do that, and don't wait for you to stop sinning. A lot of us, oh, when I stop doing this, I'm going to go to church. When I stop doing that, you're probably not going to get there if you're waiting for you to stop sinning before you do that. Like, all of this works, wow, enduring, okay? And I'm not saying it's okay to sin. I'm just saying all of this works as is, okay? Let's really quick go to, okay, I got the chat. Finally, the chat box opened, so if you wanted to join via web. So I still have to say you can type questions via web. You can type questions on Facebook. You can also call in, dial in with questions and comments. You know, you got a whole bunch of things, okay? A whole bunch of different ways to ask your questions. Really quick, Psalm chapter 7. I like this chapter a lot. Psalm chapter 7. It's not that long, so I'm just going to read the whole thing. And just so you know, it's the second prayer for judgment. Okay? Of course, this is David as the writer. It says, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. And he says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto them that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that was without cause and mine is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor into the dust, Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thy anger lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tries the hearts and reins. And then number 10, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. I'll get back to that. I'm gonna might as well finish it out. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will wet his sword. He hath bent his bow, and make it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to thy name of the Lord Most High. So that's Psalm chapter 7. And why I wanted to go there is because when you read verse 10, it says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Keep that in mind. When you are in defensive mode, make sure it's of God, not of yourself. That means the person attacking you, you don't know if they're a lost sheep or one of the devil's kids. Like, you don't know who's attacking you. So you have to make sure your defense is of God. Make sure you're dealing with them like God would. Again, God says don't curse people. So cursing people is not of God. I mean, if you're sitting there going to witch doctors and all of that, and oh, I want to put a spell on this person, and you trying to put spells on people because they're bothering you, that's not of God, okay? That's not of God. That defense is of the devil. God says, do not curse people. I don't care what they're doing to you. I don't care what they've done to you and what they're continuing to do to you. You don't curse people. So that's why I wanted to read that. Now, out of all of the stuff David was going through, he never cursed them. He's just really asking for judgment, you know, and God is the avenger, and he knew that. So, yeah, you can ask God, you know, to avenge you. That's not cursing people. That's what the judgment is all about. That's what this walk is all about. That's why God wants us blameless, so we not getting that go-around. He said you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow in discord, you're going to reap discord times 10. If you sow in hate and anger, you're going to reap hate and anger times 10. Because remember, the harvest is always more than seed. So asking God to avenge you is not cursing people, but really taking it upon yourself to go after and avenge yourself. That's why he said vengeance is mine, because he wants to do that. So make sure when you are in defensive mode, it is of God. Okay, there shouldn't be no hate. Yeah, it's bad when somebody's attacking you and doing ridiculous, crazy. I mean, I don't even want to start naming the attacks you could be under. I'm just saying make sure your defense mode is of God. Okay, like David said, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Okay, and then he said, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So he's just agreeing with God. Agreeing with God is not cursing people. There's a difference. There's also a fine line. Watch the words coming out of your mouth. Watch the words that are coming out of your mouth when you are in defensive mode, any mode, but watch the words that are coming out of your mouth. So what do we take from that? Our defense must be of God, not of ourselves. Not cursing people, but justice. God is our avenger. Defense must not be revenge, okay, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Don't ever, ever, ever. If you are in revenge, I got to get revenge. I got to pay you back. They did this to me. I got to get them back. That is not of God. You need to repent for that type of even having that mindset on you is bad. Because then you're going to get your go around. Remember that. You reap what you sow, okay? And then declare justification when we are wronged. So that's what we took from that scripture. Okay? Now let's go to, and that's why I like the Psalms, especially during attack. You can just start quoting Psalms or just start reading. For those of you that are just getting started in this walk and say, I don't know how to do all of that, and I don't know where to start, I don't know where to begin. All you got to do is start going to Psalms. Starting out, I'm saying, go to Psalm and just find a relevant Psalm that pertains to you and read it aloud. That works too. Believe me, that works. I've seen that work countless times. Okay? You can just go to Psalm, find a relevant Psalm that pertains to you and your situation and read it out loud, boldly. That's still a declaration. That's still a declaration why you think it's in here. Why you think it's in here. So to you, it's called a key. It's a key, okay? Most of the Psalms are keys. Keys to what? Unlock that door. Let's go to Psalms 59, another good one, another great one, actually. A great one. And it's not that long, so I might as well just read the whole chapter. This is David in defensive mode. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, not for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouths. Swords are in their lips. For who say they doeth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Here we go again. For God is my defense. God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. See, they do that. They do that. We should not be doing what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Something's wrong. Anyway, verse 13, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. See that? God should always be our defense. And ain't no way you're going to recite this psalm, Psalm 59, and him not come to your defense, just like he did David. Just like he does any believer. That's all you got to do. Like, I'm not downplaying things that we're going through, but a lot of it is just waiting for us to open our mouths and get the job done. This is how you get the job done. You just quote the word of God. Father God, you said in Psalm 59 that you was going to be my defense, and then you could just read the whole thing. This this works just like it does in our legal system, our justice system in Carnal, on the Carnal side. There's a judge that sits in the judgment seat, I guess, in the courtroom. There's one side, the accusing side. There's the other side, the accused. And what both sides does is find a violation of the law. And what the accused job is to do is to find the lawyer that knows that section of the law that can plead their case to the judge for a lesser charge, if not a pardon, because there's going to be a loophole in it. If you got a good lawyer, that's his job, is to find the loophole. Oh, okay, well, you up on a murder charge. However, under the section so-and-so of section 3.01 of murder, it says murder is intentional, and your case was self-defense. I mean, why you think there was a such thing as self-defense? Someone got a lawyer that argued, yeah, I killed that person, but I did not murder him intentionally. I was actually defending myself. It was either me or him. And then they made the judge have to kind of say, you know what? You're right. There's a loophole here. This does not fall under the law about murder. Yours is slightly different. Pardoned. You know, so that's what an attack is. You know what our problem is? Our problem is we don't know who the attacker is. We don't understand what the attacker's mission is, what his agenda is. We just think that there's this red pitchfork devil that just goes around and bothering us. But once you begin to understand what this is all about, this is about he was thrown out of heaven because of his mentality. He wanted to be like God. He didn't like the calls God was making. He was up there being unruly. He got a whole war going on in heaven just out of jealousy, out of, you know, not being satisfied with the role he had, wanted to overthrow God and the throne. And when, you know, I don't even want to get into it, but when Jesus was coming, you know, like just totally against everything that God was about. So he was kicked out for good. And if you read Revelation chapter 12 tells us exactly what life here on earth is all about. This devil got great wrath, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, because he is pissed off that he was kicked out. Okay? So you got to understand where he's coming from. He is pissed off, and all day, you know what he does? They just like me. Why do they get to go to heaven? They just like me. Look at her. Look what she's doing. They just like me. Look at him. Look what he's doing. He's just like me. But you want to invite your precious jewels up to come up to heaven with you. I couldn't stay there, but they're just like me. Why do they get to go? That's what this is about. That's exactly what this is about. That's what his thing is. Why do they get to go? I got kicked out. I can't go. I'm about to be punished. Why do they get to go? And they're just like me. And all day long, he's building his defense. Each time we sin, it's helping the devil build his defense, his case against us. Now, that don't mean sit around and let him do that. That's what confession is all about. That's what declaring the word is about. That's what the walk is about. That's what faith is about. That's what being trying to be a better person daily is about. That's what the daily walk is about. Hold on a minute. Yeah, I may be just like you. However, I don't want to be just like you. I want to do it God's way. God, thank you for your patience and your mercy and your grace that I have a Savior, and I can I can try this again tomorrow. I can hit a reset button. I can do this again. Like, yeah, we guilty. Yeah, we are kind of just like him. But at the same time, God understands what this whole thing is about. Okay, so that's what we need to understand with this whole defense. So if you understand the attacker, that's why God tells us we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Principalities in high places, throwing fiery darts, that's a spiritual battle. Okay, so every day in life, if somebody's attacking you or saying something against you, just cause, speaking, I'm not talking about you did anything, I'm saying just cause, you know, spreading rumors about you, whatever the case may be, just cause. It's not really that person. It's the spirit behind them that's trying to discredit you and probably discredit what you're saying, what you're about, who's following you, whatever it is you're doing. And that's their job. They're allowing themselves, they're allowing their vessel to be used by Satan to run havoc in your life. They'll marry you, have kids with you. Then you got the enemy living in your house and enemy half-blood kids. Yeah, they go to the extreme to take us down. They will go to the extreme to take us down. So we need to understand what's going on. We need to understand what's going on. And it's as simple as what's coming out of our mouth. Ask God before you get married. Should you marry that person? Right? We didn't know to do that before. Now we do. Who knew? We can ask God questions. I thought before, this Bible and reading the Bible and praying and going to church was for when we die. I had no idea this was for right here and now. Ever since then, I start asking questions. Like before I make drastic changes in my life, I ask God, God, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I stay here? Should I go there? Should I buy this? Should I buy that? Everything matters. Get in the wrong relationship, it will destroy you. Take the wrong job, it will destroy you. Marry the wrong man, it will destroy you. Marry the wrong wife, it will destroy you. Get the wrong house, it will destroy you. Stress is the number one destroyer. That's all they need to do is stress you out. Things in your house is breaking. First the washing machine goes, then this goes, then that goes, then that goes, then that. Then it becomes a money pit. And you running around, you can't concentrate on nothing because you are in this money pit. And all you have to do is open your mouth and ask God, should you buy that house? Or ask God, should you have gotten into that marriage? It's as simple as that. We make it more complicated than it needs to be. It's already complicated trying to understand it. But if you can just understand that bit that I just said, the rest is nothing. I don't mean nothing like nothing. I mean, should be easy. The rest should be easy. I mean, saying no to sin is a struggle because we like what we like and, you know, the flesh wants this and things that are not good for the body. The flesh wants cigarettes. The flesh wants alcohol. The flesh wants drugs. The flesh wants sex. The flesh wants this. The flesh, flesh. But when you understand what this is all about, trying to make sure you look at it differently. This is to take me down. This is so I'm not sober-minded. This is so I'm not thinking like God. This is so I can miss my miracle. This is so I can't perform miracles. This is to take me down. This is to destroy me. This is to keep me distracted. This is when we start looking at things like distractions, that changes our decision-making. That changes our impatience. And our will, what we want, we want. We got to make it line up with what God said and what God wants. And then that's where the peace comes from. That's where the peace comes from. Okay? So what do we learn in Psalm 59? Our defense must be dependent solely on God. God is our defender. Get out of his way. He knows the root of the attack. He knows the spirit behind the attack. The attack may be from a lost sheep that causes a conflict of interest when there is a conflict amongst believers. So if you're dealing with a lost sheep that is attacking you, and then you try to go get revenge, there's a conflict of interest in heaven. They wanted to use you to help lead that lost sheep back on the road called straight. But here you are attacking the lost sheep. You know better. They don't. It's a conflict of interest in heaven over it. That's why he doesn't want us avenging ourselves. Okay, so we need to understand that. Another thing we learned, let God defend us. We just agree with him according to, one, Revelation. You should be tapping into what the attack is all about. Don't be afraid to ask a God, where is this coming from? I had to say that a few years back. That attack was coming so fast and so hardcore. And I didn't even understand it. And I had to be like, what is this about? What is this? What is God? What is all of this about? And he answered me right away, right then and there. Once I understood what it was about, oh, man. I was like, is that what this is? It just cleared everything up in my head. Anyway, Revelation, okay, prophecy and visions. Count on them. They'll help you. Depend on them, actually. Seek for them. Sometimes revelation and prophecy and visions is right in your face daily, but you're missing them. You're missing them. Are you paying attention or are you distracted? Not good to get distracted. Make sure we're not distracted. And if we do have distractions in our lives, don't be afraid to put it to the side and focus. Because family could even be a distraction. I'm not saying become an introvert, although those people can hear crystal clearly because there's no distractions, there's no noise, there's no other competing voices. But at the same time, just know how to balance everything out. That's one of the gifts he's given us is family. That's a gift, and love and all of that, your neighbor, and that's love, and we need it. However, learn how to balance it out. Don't let it become a distraction, because I can tell you, he will remove it. If you don't remove the distraction, he will. You know how God is. I don't think you want him to remove it. It's probably not going to be when you're in your timing. It's not. So you can remove it, and he don't even got to do nothing, okay? He said, judge yourself, lest ye be judged. If you can judge that situation and take care of it, and not let the beautiful blessings become a distraction. That's like him blessing you with a beautiful house But every day you're getting up worshiping your house. You don't got time to read the Bible no more. You don't got time to go to church no more. You're just so busy working, trying to get things for your house. You're just so busy. You're so preoccupied with this beautiful. That blessing can become your curse. Or he blesses you with a wife, and you're so busy worshiping your wife. And sun up to sundown is what your wife wants. And your wife got you doing this and got you doing that. And you just can't say no, honey, and pull away and go get in the Word of God. And go sanctify yourself and separate and get some alone time, some me time with you and God and Spirit, because you're so busy worshiping your wife. What you think is going to happen? What you think is going to happen? Tell me. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Here we go again with the defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Here we go again. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, my rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. My storage is full, my bad. Let me read that again. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. See, we was just talking about that. Don't let your blessings become curses because you want to start worshiping it. Okay, yeah, be grateful, but don't get into idolizing it like you got a new car. Don't, you got to shine it up every day. Oh, I'm going to roll the tires every day. I'm not saying don't keep it clean and appreciate it. I'm saying, is it taking you from doing the things you're supposed to be doing? Are you humble with it? Or are you out getting all the girls you can get with it? Or getting all the showing off, in other words? You know what I'm saying? Or you got a new job. You know, you're making way, way more money. Now you're walking around like, you know, you're better than everybody. Then you start glorifying yourself. When that homeless person crosses your path and asks you for a dollar, huh? I work every day. I get up and go to work. You can do the same thing. Who gave you that job? Who blessed you with that job? Like, that's what I'm saying, okay? So what did we learn? God must be our defense. What did we learn in Psalm 62? Do not curse. Let God do it. Listen for instructions. Wait on God. Be of good courage. Imagine if the saints tried to avenge themselves against Paul before he was converted. Huh? Remember that? Remember that? Imagine if the saints tried to avenge themselves against Paul when he was going around killing them and doing a God knows what to them, right? God stepped in and took care of the problem. Who could better do it than God? Someone say, well, that's not fair. He killed all these people and then, you know, nothing happened to him. And then, you know, then he gets like a promotion and now he's a preacher going around preaching the good news. But everybody he killed is dead. That's not fair. That should not be your mindset. There should not be a mindset. You know what your mindset should be? Thank you, God, for getting Paul out of darkness, and he went on to do great things for your kingdom. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Psalm 89. Let's keep going with this. Psalm 89. This one is a little bit longer, but I think it's worth reading. Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Here we go with the mouth again, the sword, power of life and death. For I have saved, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. That's us he's talking about, just in case you didn't understand that. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thy rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in thy light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in the righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. I'm sorry, I keep seeing this thing flashing. Verse 17, for thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense. Here we go again. The Lord is our defense. The Lord is our defense. The Lord is our defense. And the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of thy people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the sons of the wicked afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. I don't think you want to be an enemy of the chosen of God. Verse 23, and I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. And my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and my rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Verse 29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Thank God he doesn't lie to David, right? Because that's us. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting into the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth have thou shortened. Thou hast converted him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindness, which thou sweareth unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thy enemies have reproach, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thy anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. See what to do when we fall short of the glory? Repent. Repent, because as merciful and as patient as he is, that enemy is right behind you, accusing you daily of everything you're doing. And because God is not a liar, he has to exercise what he said he would exercise. And again, causing conflict. It's a conflict of interest when we don't get it together. So we got to get it together. We really, really, really got to get it together. Before I go on, we got an hour already. I want to see if there's any questions or comments. Thanks for joining. Kevin from us says, hello, Miss Shamika Tia. Hello, Kevin, how are you? Thanks for joining, everyone. John Williams says, Shalom, says, Shalom, brother. John Williams. Lavelle Clay, what you know, Goodman. You're going to have to translate that, Lavelle Clay. Let's see. Thanks for joining. Stacy Solomon Men says, enemies of G-D are those that fear not the Lord. Why did you hyphenate God, if that's what you're in fact are typing, Stacy? He said, enemies of G-D are those that fear not the Lord. Yeah, I kind of struggle with people that do that because some feel that saying God is, we're not able to utter his name, but God is not his name, God is his title. So I'm always confused when I see people hyphenating G-D. And I had asked a lady about that one time, and she said it was spelling out a money god, G-A-W-D. So I don't think you were doing that, Stacy, or maybe you were, I'm not sure. But so when you type enemies of G-D, I got to ask you to explain that before I can answer that or even comment on it, because I'm not sure what God you're referring to. Okay? But thanks for your comment. I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody else, for joining. Okay, so it doesn't look like any more questions or comments. I'm checking the lines. If you're on the line and you have a question or comment, remember to please press pound one so I can see your call in the queue. Okay? All right, so I want to show you something. I mean, I can keep on going on and on and on about Psalms and about our defense and, okay? And, oh, since we're right here at Psalm, Psalm 91 is dealing with offensive mode. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love this chapter. And then it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Hear that? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou tread under thy feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's offensive mode and defensive mode to the 10th power, okay? And unfortunately, I didn't understand what that meant until a few years ago, what dwelling in the secret place of the Most High meant. And if you don't know what dwelling in the secret place of the Most High means, like most of us don't or didn't, I will post the steps to get in the secret place of the Most High. It is probably the most amazing thing that you will do in your spiritual walk. And it's actually, that is actually mandatory. If you haven't done this or frequently do it often, which is getting in the presence, it's a little bit more involved in praying. It's a little bit more involved in singing songs. It's a little more involved in just going to church. A little bit more involved in prophecy and revelation, all of that. Getting into the presence is actually having God occupy your vessel, and it is the most amazing thing that you can actually do. So a lot of us don't even know how to do that. I was blessed to be at a ministry that taught the steps of how to do it, and we actually did a demonstration, and it happened. And it was probably the most amazing thing that I've ever felt. Not probably, excuse me. It was the most amazing thing I've ever felt in my life. And you will never feel anything more powerful than this. Only one catch. He will not stay there as soon as you sin. And a lot of us are sinners. So, but you can do that and exercise that as often as you need to. And actually, you should do it more often than not, which is inviting God to actually come down and occupy your vessel. And that's what Jesus did when he walked the face of the earth. God was actually occupying his vessel. That's why he would tell them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because he's in me, like he was actually in him. And remember where the temple of God, remember back in OT time, God wanted them to build a temple so that he can actually come down and dwell in that temple. And then remember when we get to New T, he tells us that now we have a temple not made with hands. You know what I mean? Like, we are the temple. Like, know ye not that you're the temple of God? Like, he was not kidding. He was not kidding. And then he, yes, can come down and actually occupy our vessels. It's the most amazing thing you'll ever experience in your life. I mean, just do it. Just do the steps. And I'm going to post the steps. I actually have them typed up. I'm going to post them on my wall. I should probably start posting it. If I remember, I'll probably start posting the steps maybe once a week or something like that, once every 2 weeks. You got to do that. That's, you know, most people don't want to tap into this because they actually don't believe in God. But if God comes down and jumps in your body, you're believing him then. Okay, you're going to be sold out. You'll believe in him then. So why don't you just do that? Just go through the steps. The steps work. I'm telling you, it works. It works. And if it doesn't work for you, then there's blockage, and then that's in a whole another steps, and we can deal with that later. So I'll post the steps in a little bit. And if you experience him actually coming down and occupying your vessel, don't be afraid to comment and say, oh, it happened. It's going to be so exciting. Like, don't be afraid to share your experience. A lot of different things can happen. Maybe you may start speaking in tongues. You may fall down. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with you. I just know what happened with me. So you don't know what's going to happen. So you do this alone. I think I say that in the steps. You want to do this alone. You don't want any distractions. This is going to be the time where you really, really need to be distraction-free. You don't want to do this with anybody in your house. You're probably going to be distracted just knowing that somebody's in there hearing you. I don't care if they're in the other room. You want to do this distraction-free. It's going to be a really, really intimate time. If you need to just get in your car and do it where it's just you and the Lord, okay? It's just you and him, where you're not thinking, oh, my goodness, can somebody hear me? Or, you know, the phone's going to ring. Like, leave your phone. Turn your phone off. It's going to be the time when you're going to need your phone off. I'll post the steps in a little bit, but I absolutely love Psalm 91. And like I said, to have been reading that, and I hear a lot of people say, oh, that's my favorite scripture, my favorite scripture. And I don't think they realize, do you know what this, the dwelling place, it, you know this, it says, he that dwelleth means to remain in, to live. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? That's not the jumping in and outers every time you sin, but the ones that dwelleth in that state like Jesus did. Those people, you know what I mean? And that's not to say that you won't be victorious. Victory is yours no matter what. If you're a believer, victory is always going to be yours. And it's not too much things you can do to not be victorious unless you just completely self-destruct. But it says dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's a little bit more involved, and that requires your participation in this, okay? But get to know the scriptures. That is the scripture you want to be able to relate to. It is awesome to be able to read that, and I just think back to, yep, I know what that is. I mean, I don't dwell there. Unfortunately, I'm still a sinner, but at the same time, I'm climbing. I'm climbing the mountain. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. But I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there, okay? What's next? You know what? I also like Psalm 92. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth the loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doeth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies. And my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I love that scripture too. I mean, like I said, you can just get into the Psalms and get into the Psalms. It's going to bless you. It's going to empower you. It's going to strengthen you. Like if you find a relevant Psalm to what state you're in, it's always going to do something, and you got to read it out loud. Don't just get into the habit of reading it with your eyes, because you're declaring it and decreeing it. When you're reading it with your eyes, yeah, that's good. It's in the mind, but you want to declare it and you want to decree it. There's ministering and angels encamped about us all day long, waiting to grant everything that comes out of our mouths. Everything that comes out of our mouths. So we declaring and decreeing this type of stuff, instead of singing hateful songs or heartbreak songs and singing yourself into misery and saying flatline every time you're laughing and all of that, imagine how you would be. Imagine how we would be. Imagine that. That's the problem with speaking constantly. I can never get this right. I'm never going to lose weight. Oh, girl, I can't. You never get ahead. I'm always broke. Constantly self-destructing is what that is. It's the self-destruction each and every time. This is the stuff we should be speaking over ourselves. This is the stuff we should be speaking over ourselves daily. When from the time you wake up in the morning, those that know I'm always big on commanding your morning, from the time you wake up in the morning, you should be declaring victory over your day. I did a show on that called Command Your Morning. Every morning I have my alarm set for the later half, 5:50. And that's what I do in the morning, declare victory over my day. That's what he told us to do. Like, why wouldn't I set the dial for my day first thing in the morning? Before I even get out of bed, first thing in the morning, I'm declaring victory over my day. I didn't say I was perfect, and I did say I was a sinner. I can still declare victory over my day. The word still works. Shamika's not working. The word still works, though. Remember that. The word still works. You got to understand it. The word works. It's us that's not working. But the word works. So if you're speaking the word, God's word is not going to come back void. So if you're speaking the word, that's not going to come back void. That still works. You get how this, this is how this works. You speak it, you declare it, you decree it, it's so. And then you believe it. I mean, you're not going to get up every day speaking victory over your day, but then you still like, but I still am always, I mean, cancel out everything you spoke over yourself. So we got to get this under, we got to get this together. We like right there. There's a song I like to sing. It's called One Word Away. And in the song, he's talking about how important words are. And we just one word away from that victory. Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm tired. I went to bed late last night. But, yeah, we are one word away from victory. How about this? Start doing a demonstration, okay? Whatever you're in right now, or whatever, whether it's a really, really bad need or sick or a health issue, speak the word. Like sometimes you just got to start doing demonstrations. Remember, testing it out, tasting and seeing. What do you think that's all about? Tasting and seeing is, oh, okay, yeah, this is good. Taste it and see. You got to taste and see this. Test it out. I guarantee you the word works. You don't work. I don't work. But the word works. And we're a vessel. Speaking the word still works. Yep. Still works. However, However, cleanse yourself first before you start speaking a word. That's where the Lord's Prayer come in. Remember those 25 elements Jesus gives us? Like, you got to understand the spiritual rules here. You don't just get into, I mean, you can, but you want to be more effective. You got to cleanse yourself first. How do you cleanse yourself? Same way, with words. Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Recite that, then get into speaking over your day. Because you just cleansed yourself. Right? In the OT, they would wash their hands before they entered, and then wash their feet before they entered. That's the same thing. Speaking over your day, Father, please forgive me for my sins. I know I am not worthy, but you said I'm righteous, not because of my works, but because you said I'm righteous. So since you said I'm righteous, I can do what righteous people do, which is speak this word and get results. Thank you, Father, for declaring me righteous. I agree with you. Thank you, Father, for sending me a Savior. And I have a Savior, not me, but my Savior. I can speak through my Savior. I can speak in my Savior's name. You said I serve the name above all names. Like, we're constantly supposed to be agreeing with the Creator. Because the power is not us. It's like we're just the vessel. It still works. It still works. Okay? The blood still, you know, they say the blood still works. It still works. This stuff still works. If you're waiting for you to stop sinning before you start speaking a word, good luck with that. If you're waiting for you to stop doing whatever it is you're doing before you're speaking a word, good luck with that. Because that's about all you're going to deal in is luck. Now, if you want those blessings, you got to go right now. He will meet you right where you are. He do me. Y'all know I'm far from there. And he doesn't me. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. I'm not even kidding. He does. So I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm a sinner. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying he will meet you right where you are because you're still speaking the word. The word is not going to come back void. Okay? Got to follow the rules. Sister Pam joined in. She said, hey, sis. Hey, queen. How are you? How are you? Sister Pam is also on the Initiative Radio Network. She has a show that she does with Brother Maurice every Wednesday. So if you guys get time, I mean, we got some powerful warriors on the radio, the Initiative Radio Network, and I mean, there's some hardcore shows that go on all throughout the week. So, yeah, if you get some time, join in. Check us out and see what we're doing. You got some that empower the people. You got some that discuss current events. I do the spiritual, you know, the spiritual side. We got a couple of Muslim brothers over there that's pretty hardcore with it. The alarm is going off. All right, I got to run. I got to see what that's all about because I thought everybody was gone to class. Apparently not. Yeah, that's an alarm going off. All right, I got to run. I'm sorry. I work and live on site. And, yeah, I'm sorry. I got to cut it short. I got to go up to see what this is all about. All right, y'all. But really quick before I leave, if you want part of this, if you want to join in on this ship, this bandwagon, the winning bandwagon, the ship that don't sail bandwagon, because you thought that you was in God's image and you're not, because Genesis chapter 5 says we are now in Adam's image. If you want to restore yourself back to your original nature, you need to open your mouth and say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days, he arose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life, spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Welcome to the kingdom if you just said that. okay? And if you need to reach out to me and ask some questions on next steps, what do you do? Oh, where do you start? Where to begin? I always recommend beginning right in Genesis and reading it like a book. I also recommend starting right at the beginning of Psalm and also reading that through like a book. And like I said, you can flip through and find a relevant psalm. I also would recommend starting right in Matthew. Like you can have three going on at once. You know, like when you get some downtime and you really got some time to study and read, read Genesis like a book. Flag your place and, you know, as much time as you get, go back there. But Psalm is like for praying. You should be reciting that every day. Don't let a day pass when you're not reciting. I do that every morning at devotion, where I just read from a psalm. At my house, we do devotion every morning. I just read from a psalm. But and then in the evening, whatever, you read the Gospels, okay? Read the Gospels because you don't want to be too hung up. You don't want to be too hung up on the left. You don't want to be too hung up on the right. You want to understand. It's almost like you're not going to understand fully the New Testament until you read the Old Testament. But if you've reading them all, you know, like that parallel, you'll start getting it. You'll see Jesus right in the OT. You'll see him in the New T. You'll understand what every single thing Jesus did, according to the time he died, every single detail, the lady running, rubbing the oil on him. You'll understand every single thing if you read the OT as well. So I recommend for new believers to read Genesis like a book. Slowly take your time with it. Go on to Exodus. Slowly take your time. How do you know what the promise is? How do you know what the promise is? Well, he keeps referencing Egypt and Egypt. You never read what happened in Egypt. Like, you never read it. You need to read that stuff to understand. I mean, yeah, you can jump on the gospel bandwagon, but don't you want to understand what it is you're doing? What do you think? How are you going to get rid of doubt if you don't have no understanding? Part of this, and yes, you can't fully understand everything about God, but there is some things that you should be understanding. You got to read. Read and study, okay? So do that. I got to run upstairs and see what that alarm was all about. I heard it go off, so somebody's up there, but I just want to see what's going on. Sorry, I can't do the full, oh, not bad, just a half an hour early ending. I do apologize. But thank y'all for joining. Stay tuned for next week's show. I think this topic is really good, the offensive and defensive. But stay tuned. I'll announce the topic later on in the week. I just never know what's going to be prioritized before the other subjects. So, all right, stay tuned. Again, if you are a new believer and you need a little bit of guidance, you can definitely reach out to me. My inbox is not for casual conversation or casual, hey, sis, how you doing? Although people have been doing it and I've been letting it slide a little bit, I really want to save the inboxes for people that really need to get some direction or, some answers or maybe just have some something you struggle with in the scriptures and you need someone, maybe you don't have a church that you go to, maybe you're just doing your studying at home. So definitely you can reach out to me in the inbox and then I'll let you know from there if it's worth a call. Like I had a girl call me one time before. She had like a generational curse going on in her family and that required a phone call and we broke that curse and all that. We didn't do anything. God broke that curse. But, you know, some people need extra help and that's fine. I want that help to be available for you. Okay. I'm here for that. That I'm here for. The casual conversation, if you can just keep that to the posts and comments and the replies on my main wall, that would be good. Save the inboxes for personal spiritual situations, okay? All right, thank you, everyone, for joining. I appreciate it. Have a blessed week. Love you. Over and out.